This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on July 25th, 2013. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
The next item... Yeah, okay. I'm informed that there will be questions. The next item on the agenda is Draft Advisory Opinion 2013-06 from the DSCC. Completely different client of Mr. Elias's. Ms. Selikoff.
Thank you, Chair Weintraub. Good afternoon. Agenda document 13-30 is a draft advisory opinion in response to three questions from the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee concerning how the terms spouse and family apply to legally married same-sex spouses. On the first question, the draft concludes that DSCC may apply the spouse contribution rule at 11 CFR 110.1I to contributions it receives from legally married same-sex spouses because same-sex couples married under state law are spouses. On the second question, the draft concludes that a Senate candidate who is legally married to a same-sex spouse may utilize jointly owned assets under two provisions of the Commission's regulations under the same conditions as a Senate candidate who is married to an opposite-sex spouse. Finally, on the final question, the draft concludes that DSCC representatives may appear at restricted class events under 11 CFR 114.3C2, at which legally married same-sex spouses are present as families of other restricted class members. The Commission received one comment on the draft, and if the Commission approves the draft, the Office of General Counsel asks for authority to make technical and conforming changes to the final document. I'm available for any questions you may have.
Thank you, Ms. Selikoff. And I do want to note that the Windsor decision came down on June 26th, and within a week we had two advisory opinions requests that came in from yourself, and then the next one that we're going to consider. And here we are on July 25th, less than a month later, and we've got them on the agenda, and I'm optimistic we're going to be able to issue those opinions. So I just want to give us a little pat on the back for we always try when people ask for expedited consideration to get the advisory opinion done within a month, and it looks like we'll be able to do that in this case. And thank you for providing us with another interesting question, Mr. Elias. Does anyone have questions for our counsel or Mr. Elias or comments on the draft? Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you. A couple questions for Mr. Elias. This is a pretty big issue nationally. A lot of media coverage. Your client agrees it's an important issue.
My client and I both agree this is an important issue, yes. But my client agrees it's an important
issue. Given the importance of the issue, should we really decide it now?
Yes. The fact is, we submitted comments, Perkins Coie, we submitted comments when candidate Winslow, I believe it was, submitted a request suggesting that you not take the action you took there. If there was a time where you should have moved more slowly and more deliberately, it would have been when the U.S. Supreme Court was had it pending before them. The U.S. Supreme Court has now decided the case that was pending at the time that you decided Winslow, and I think this is a matter of basic fundamental constitutional rights of U.S. citizens. It is the right of them to contribute and express their First Amendment right to support candidates of their choice. And I think that all the commissioners, especially many of my friends on this side of the dais, are very, very strong supporters to make sure that people do not lose constitutional rights to participate in the political process because the federal government has failed to move or move expeditiously. So I would urge you to I actually tweeted to the chair's point. I actually tweeted the day of the decision that I thought the commission should just on its own initiative just issue a statement that day vitiating the past advisory opinion announcing this as policy. I don't want to get into the APA reasons whether you could or couldn't have done that, but I couldn't feel more strongly that this should be you're talking about the rights of U.S. citizens to contribute funds to support candidates of choice, and that is a First Amendment right that all of you have fought for and which we all support, and I think you should move expeditiously, yes.
Well, I missed that tweet.
My point, though, is that we only have 5 commissioners, and there's been new nominations. So on important issues, I'm being very serious. Should we wait?
I don't believe you should wait.
Okay. Even though we only have 5 commissioners, I'm eventually going to leave, and that there's nominees.
I think all 5 of you have been appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate. As I understand the law, you serve until your term has expired and you've been replaced. So you're all properly in the role. And if the commission obtains 4 votes for an advisory opinion, you should rule and issue the advisory opinion.
So it's okay that I vote on this.
I hope you vote, and I hope on both of these matters you vote in favor of the position that we've urged, and in this case I hope you drop, I think, what is the only draft, right?
Thank you. We have one draft, Madam Chair?
One draft.
Okay. I don't know. Only 5 commissioners. A lot of people say it's a problem. But I appreciate you clarifying that it's not a problem. I move that we adopt the one draft before us.
Vice Chairman has moved approval of Draft Advisory Opinion 2013-06, DSCC. I am hopeful that everyone on the commission will be in consensus on this, and that would be a good thing. I appreciate the comment that you filed last time on the next requester's request, and we felt constrained at that time by DOMA. As we indicated at the time, several of us were not very happy that we felt so constrained, but we did. I can, if this passes, I will take much greater satisfaction in signing this advisory opinion, I can assure you. I did want to say a word about the comment. We did receive a comment asking us to include civil unions. The comment didn't come from somebody who's sort of within our normal circle of commenters, which is always great to hear from other folks, but, you know, for the benefit of that person, anybody else who might be listening and may not be as in the weeds on our normal practice here, we don't normally allow commenters to add to the questions that have been posed to us by requesters. You are the master of your own question. You get to ask the question that you want to ask, and if somebody else, it happens sometimes that commenters will send us something and say, hey, while you're in the neighborhood, why don't you also opine on this? We don't generally do that, and our lawyers haven't done any analysis of that particular question. Obviously, somebody could submit that question, and the commission would consider it at that time. I'll just say, I'm just speaking off the cuff here for one commissioner. I would think that if state law defines the partners in a civil union as having all the same legal rights as married people, then we would treat them the same way as well. But that's just one commissioner's off the cuff point of view. It's obviously not a formal opinion from the commission. Mr. Vice Chairman.
Thank you. I actually did a little research into the spouse issue, and part of it was a reaction to the comment. And you're right, the requester is the master of the request, and maybe someone will come in with a request putting the question the commenter raises before us. But the commission has never really concerned itself all that much with the details of being married. And when this came up before, prior to the Supreme Court decision striking the one provision of DOMA that really dictated the answer last time, I made the point that for years and years and years and years and years and years and years, I think back from since 1987, the regs have permitted reattribution and redesignation of contributions among folks with joint bank accounts. married or otherwise. He didn't even have to be married, and he could still get the benefit of writing one check. And the question then, the response to that was, well, okay, that's true, but if you have separate checking accounts, it's not so easy, and that sort of thing. And I guess so. When I did some research, it's interesting because you do have situations where, you know, there's common law marriage. Certain states recognize if you live together for more than 7 years, you're married. I don't think the commission's ever cared to really go in and sort of take discovery on when you actually start living together. I don't think there's ever been a Murrow in common law marriage, but I don't want to give anyone any ideas. Apparently, West Virginia has a law. I believe it's West Virginia on cousins getting married. And whether or not it's not up to the commission to decide whether or not that's okay under state law. It's just not our place. I mean, my point is it seems like a new issue, but it's really not for purposes of FICA. It comes down as a request or much more a First Amendment issue, being able to contribute what the limits are. And really, I still come back to a lot of this is a hyper-technical creation of the commission as to how you allocate contributions among people, whether they're married or not married, or whether they're married under one state's law, but a civil union in another state, or whatever one wants to call it, whether even for business purposes they're some sort of partnership, and how do you attribute it among partners? Something the commission's grappled with for years. And the point I want to make is, forever and a day, the commission has not worried all that much about the details. And I hope in the future the commission continues to take that approach and doesn't get into new details simply because they may or may not like the new details. So for me, I do see it much more as a it's really a hyper-technical regulatory issue, and I say that without trying to trivialize the underlying charged passions on either side. End of the day, we're talking about how you break down a contribution on an FEC report. On the one hand, folks can look at this AO as some bold step. On the other hand, you can look at it as this is the FEC just reading the law and doing what it always does, which is to just try to make sense of the system that we've inherited. So I just wanted to say that, you know, again, not to trivialize anything, but last time it came up, I made the point that for the most part, you can already do this. And now this makes it more clear that you can already do this. And this is so purposes of campaign finance law and limits, everybody counts here.
I'm pleased to agree with everything that the Vice Chairman just said. Any other comments on the draft or the motion? Hearing none, I will call the question. Just to remind everyone, the Vice Chairman has moved approval of draft advisory opinion 2013-06 from the DSCC and authorized technical and conforming amendments for council, by council. All in favor say aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion carries 5-0.